Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Techotastic. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being here. Thank you for your time, most importantly. Yeah, it's a new episode of Techotastic. This will probably come out at the same time as the last episode. And as I said in the last episode of Techotastic, I wanted to talk more about currency and how it plays a role in our happiness. You know, I view this as a technology purely because it's invented by man, right? Fiat currency as we know, in the sense of creating something and assigning a value to it. That's the fiat currency that, you know, we sort of invented to stamp out, you know, the inconvenience of trading a pig to get your house repaired or whatever. Those trading mechanisms back in the day, it was a lot harder to get shit done because, you know, it was more like a quest. You got to go get a fucking sword for this guy because he only wants a sword. And it's got to be made of this material or whatever. You can only imagine the trade deals back then because it was so hard to accumulate things and to, you know, find a professional to, you know, make something or whatever. Now you can just fucking, you know, you order a replica of anything, right? Hell, you can order a replica Ferrari and trick everyone on the road. But what does that tell you about the value in which we spend our currency? See, at some point in society, I feel currency, fiat currency, had great intention. You know, there was common sense behind it, and there was fundamental ideas to let it exist in society for years on end. Slowly, though, it definitely has trickled down into a way of keeping corruption allowed in society. As much as I'm all for handing money directly to people, I am not for randomly printing money out to bail out a supposed capitalist corporation. I'm not for, you know, giving incentives based on numbers, okay? At that point, it's just a huge grand scheme of money laundering, in my opinion. And, you know, here on Techotastic, I don't mean to bring so much of my opinion on it, but I need to highlight this issue more than ever because people are starting to understand how an economy works in a modern society, at least how it was set up to be, how it's presented to us, as I like to say. Let's put it this way. There's only 52 cards in the decks. You can't make new cards. The people that are making the cards are the government, the people that make the rules. And by no means am I saying that there's no role for government. But what I'm ultimately saying, as I said in the last episode of Techotastic, the government should not have complete control over the printing press. They've proved time and time again that they do not have accountability, they don't have responsibility, they don't care, and most importantly, they feel like they're the only saviors in the world. They get to say, you know, we're going to print out $100 million for the airline industry, and you're only going to be able to get X amount of this. And that's basically, it's always been that hand we get dealt. We don't even get to see the rest of the cards. We essentially, as citizens, we only get to see the hand of the game each time. We never get to mess around with the cards. Can't even check to see if the deck has 52 cards. So in this analogy, you know, we have trusted the government many of times in which they've had plenty of opportunity to prop up society because they have the ultimate power, and yet they didn't do it. And this is my conclusion of, yeah, they need to hand the printing press over to the citizens now. This needs to be a public ledger. This needs to be public information. And as I said, ledger, and this is where cryptocurrency really comes into play, because many of the cryptocurrencies are on a public ledger in which anyone can access. Now, this is, of course, if you have access to the internet. And I don't mean to charade anything here. As much as the internet is the most decentralized thing known to us, these powers still have great control over this. Okay, they still have great control, for instance, on shutting off the data lines if they want to in the ocean. That would cause catastrophic problems. Yeah, there's data centers and homelands and, you know, and actually in physical places locally and stuff. But if one power really wanted to do something in which they go up to a corporation and say, hey, you know, we're the government. You know how much power we got. You know how much we scratch your back. And now it's time for us to have ultimate power. And this is really where the Big Brother argument comes into play, where, you know, the government's constantly looking after you and whatnot, in which they already are in a lot of ways. But even more so if they control the internet in this facet. Now, this is why we as citizens need to take a step back and look at all of the problems that they've created from their money printing schemes, in which they lost complete control over what they were trying to do to begin with. And we need to hold them accountable. I think it really is as simple as that. To actually, you know, be there as a citizen, and if you want to, you know, be that productive member in society as you live in the country, then you should have at least access to what goes on with the money. President Biden just announced a new spending program that's apparently going to be paid for over 8 years. And it's nice that he has a plan to pay for something like this. It's nice that he presented the people with the plan. However, that's not the case every single time they come up with these bills. And, you know, they put a price tag on it. There's all these nuances in it, but there's no explanation of where it's coming from other than, you know, hey, we're just going to fucking print this out and we're going to use our methods that we've used before that's failed, like quantitative easing. We're going to completely lie to everyone by presenting these stupid ass indexes that mean nothing in the real world. It's just like paradise index for the government, so they can just keep justifying how much money they print out. You know, the consumer price index, the CPI, is widely known to anyone that actually looks at these charts and whatnot. Widely known that it's just bullshit. Whatever the government says the CPI is complete horseshit. It's not true. They skew the numbers on purpose, and it's clear as day. I mean, I don't know why this is even legal at this point. But, you know, it's me as a citizen that recognizes this and then sees, for instance, cryptocurrency, and I can really pragmatically say, you know, okay, this is a fundamental change in fiat currency as we know it. Because cryptocurrency is just another form of fiat, as it's not backed by any true commodity that you can tangibly have. So I don't mean to, you know, make anyone upset or whatever. And me and my buddy actually got into a very nuanced argument on what fiat currency is and how it's really, at the end of the day, it's all monopoly money is the same thing as cryptocurrency, is the same thing as, US dollars. And it's, yes, of course, I know that there's some scarcity in some cryptos, but those cryptos are not actually backed by anything tangible and physical. And not only that, the operation in which the crypto is mined, it's just a random problem. It's not anything that's actually solving it. You're not getting anything in return, is what I'm saying. You're just sort of just, it's a race. So, you can't just make a virtual mountain and say, hey, look, there's 100 ounces of digital coins in here. But you can't do anything to those coins afterwards. All you can do is just whatever the coin is settled, which the holders, have. You can't like throw the coin into melt it down and make microchips like you can with other materials. So that's the fundamental difference. And arguably a lot of economists say that we need to get back on the gold standard, and that would truly make it a true currency because there's only so much gold, this, that, and the other. And my perspective on this is it's we missed our boat on doing that. Far as I understand, we really don't know how much gold there is. It's just a huge guesstimate because it's, once again, it's coming from the same, government powers that, and also private entities that, report numbers. Are they really fucking reporting the right numbers? I seriously doubt it, okay? Fort Knox was audited, what was it, like late 70s or something, and they only showed one or two chambers. They claimed that they had hundreds or whatever, way more than one or two. And, they were only allowed the reporters in there for like 10 minutes, browse around real quick, take a couple photos, get the fuck out of there. All right? We got many more of these. Don't worry about it. I just don't believe it. I just don't. Because if that was the case, then things wouldn't have fallen apart so quickly. Look at Nixon taking the gold away from every American and, making a buyback program completely fucking skewing with the numbers. So I think we completely missed our boat regarding gold. Silver is another interesting one. But once again, I think we missed our boat purely because it is one of those commodity-like metals. Silver is way more industrial, sure, in which I mean, it's actually used. Gold really is just looked upon. Oh, look at the brilliance of gold. It's so scarce. Certainly, gold's used in some applications, but not as much as silver. So silver is definitely would be interesting to use, but I feel like it's super manipulated to begin with. It's super undervalued because of that manipulation. So we've missed our boat on that as well. Cryptocurrency solves a lot of problems of what the government can't do. And I listen to a lot of economists, and I really take in their viewpoints because they've been doing this for far longer than me, in the sense of actually applying something and putting real stakes into it. I'm very fucking wet behind the ears still, as far as all that. This stuff is not taught to any American children in school. As far as like investing money into stock markets and different return rates and stuff, really it's all seems to me that it's all just it's poised that way to get you as confused as possible, to get you locked out of the corruption money laundering scheme. If you do, then you better watch out because people want to manipulate you. And please, no one take any of this as financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, and I don't claim to be. I do have knowledge on particular subjects, and I listen to, like I said, I listen to different economists. Peter Schiff is one of them, and he does not like cryptocurrency. If anyone listens to Peter Schiff, he hates cryptocurrency. He doesn't. He thinks it's the biggest scheme in the world. It has no place in society. And I'm not going to take his opinion with a grain of salt because this guy has experienced the full gamut regarding the present state of what an economy is. And in this case, the US economy. So he definitely has certainly extreme point of view on it, and I do hope he's wrong in my personal interest. But I definitely take an account into his mentality. However, I do feel like people like him just really hasn't understood the full applications of cryptocurrency. And it's still in a super heyday. I bet I was saying the same thing on a prior episode years ago about crypto. And it's very peculiar in the sense that it's still in the infancies stages of, what is it and which one's going to be it. Once again, don't take any of this as actual financial advice. It's a huge speculation. I think it's an interesting evolution of fiat currency, where if we really wanted to make a global currency, crypto would definitely be the application for that. If we wanted to fuck all the banks in their exchange rates and just, like I said, make one currency, crypto tracks all of that automatically, and it would be as easy as just looking at your phone real quick and sending off whatever the denomination is to anyone in any place in any time throughout the world. So that is a powerful application, and I think that's the biggest one that it can truly solve. However, there's gonna be so much pushback to that. Obviously, the biggest one being government powers. Nevertheless, it's a very interesting thought on an application for crypto. And another one that I can see being implemented is a universal game currency, because I'm really sick and tired of these game companies coming up with their own bullshit fiat currency. V-Bucks, Steam Bucks, this Bucks, Game Cred, whatever the fuck. I don't. It's disgusting that one Epic Games, they charge $12 for a fucking skin on a video game that takes an artist 4 hours to maybe implement from start to finish. Yeah, a really high fidelity artist, someone that knows what they're doing. 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours, they got that shit done. And they're charging everyone 1,200 V-Bucks, which computes out to $12. Crypto is a great way to keep all that shit in line. Because if you make a universal asset for games, so let's say you make, let's just call it Game Coin, all right? And you have 1,000 game coins. And as a gamer, that your 1,000 game coins, well, shit, that can buy you a good amount of stuff. That could buy you a couple skins. Let's say skins go for anywhere between 100 to 150, not 100 to 900. Because it's a universal asset, it would force everyone, every game company, every developer, to make a standard on what they're selling their microtransactions for. Fortnite selling their skin for $12. They're not an indie game developer. They're just a greedy developer. They want as much money as possible from the gamer community. And in this case, the demographic of the people who play Fortnite is young children. So it's a maddening, vicious circle on when is it enough for you fucking developers on selling something that's virtual. So cryptocurrency really is a great way to implement and force everyone to audit these developers and say you can't charge 600 game creds for your skin because there's 200 games out here that have standardized the 100 game cred 100 game credits skin. So you can't do that. No one's gonna buy your shit. We're calling your bluff, right? And DLC is another perfect example. Game companies, they want to charge these stupid ass season passes now, and then on top of that, charge extra on downloadable content on the side. It's just really disgusting of all these weird, zany ways these developers are trying to squeeze money out of gamers by, making some ambiguous fiat currency in their game and coming out with something limited time or, whatever it is. It's really disgusting. So cryptocurrency would definitely solve that problem. Those are two real fundamental applications, and in this case, transactional applications, which cryptocurrency would easily solve. I see another one being like health records. For instance, here in America, it's really annoying. Getting health records, tracking them down, did they digitize it, all this stuff. Well, blockchain can easily track all that and be able to be hailed on real time to summon whatever record you're looking for. So that's another perfect example. As of right now, it's really interesting what you can do with crypto. It has evolved a little bit and subtle ways since I talked about it years ago. There's coins out there that are moving from the proof of work method of how a coin is minted to a proof of stake method, which is essentially putting your coins that you already own up on the block to solve the math problems on the side. There's no one computer doing it. It's just a bunch of backed coins that are locked away, staking to get the minting process done. And you get a kickback as someone who puts their coins up on the block. And it doesn't mean you lose your coins, it just means there's some, parameter on, it takes 21 days to do this or whatever, whatever it is. It's an interesting method to sort of keeping inflation intact and making sure that the block always runs. And in this case, it doesn't use any excess electricity. It's just all virtual, all just numbers, just randomly, going around trying to figure shit out. Yeah, I wanted to make this a pretty short episode about currency and, it's going to be interesting seeing what Biden does. And like I said, it's interesting that he wants to pay for it over 8 years. He's basically insinuating that they're, he's going to run again. He's going to win. But in this case, I think is a good example of like how the government should present printing money out. Because they're giving a whole plan out and stuff, that's great. However, it's just a very meager way of doing it because we all know that there's deals being made behind the scenes still. There's all this money being spent unnecessarily on campaigns, all this shit that they really could be diverting to solving all the issues that he's talking about. He's trying to divvy up 50 million there, 100 million there to schools, and save some for the roads. And it's like, what the fuck? I thought the state government's supposed to keep care of the roads. Now that the government's going to rebuild all the roads, what? It's a head scratcher moment when you look at what he's wanting to do, because it's like, shit, this is what the government should have been doing the whole time. But in this case, it's like, you guys shouldn't be doing this. I mean, this should be falling on different levels of government. That's why America's set up the way it is. And what the fuck is really going on here? And, you know, you guys can be diverting a lot more money. And fuck your defense budget. You know, just keep the planes that you guys already have for a couple years. Everything will be fine. Fucking hell. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Check us out, facebook.com/ETAcast. Trust Me, I Have a Beard is on there, as well as Techotastic. And they're both on Spotify. So if you go on Spotify, type in Techotastic or Trust Me, I Have a Beard. Hit the follow button. This way you got, you know, new episodes whenever the fuck they do come out. Anyone that listens to this knows that it's very rare. But I appreciate everyone for listening. And I hope you have a Techotastic day. We'll see you next time. Cheers.